Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. I was having a conversation with a woman the other day, someone I didn't know all that well, and the topic of COVID vaccines came up. She brought it up, not me. She asked me what I thought, and I sort of chuckled. I said, well, what do you want to know? And she said, well, first of all, if you don't mind me asking, did you get any of the shots? And I said, I don't mind the question at all. And no, I did not take any of the COVID jabs, nor did my wife or my son. And she went on to say that she did take them, and she knows a lot of people that are having issues, herself included. And she was thinking that it might have something to do with the vaccines. And I'm just listening and nodding until she said, I don't think we'll know for years who made the right choice, the vaccinated or the unvaccinated. I stopped right there and I said, well, wait a minute. I said, I agree that each person has to choose for themselves at each point. But I told her something that I've said on this show a number of times, and I think it illustrates why we don't really need to wait a few years to see who made the right choice, right? I told her I know lots of people in both camps, the unvaccinated and the vaccinated. Of the unvaccinated that I know, I do not know a single person who regrets not getting them. In fact, the overall sentiment from the unvaccinated is one of great gratitude for not giving them, as in sort of thank you, God, for telling me not to get these things, right? And I told her of the vaccinated, I know lots of people, given the choice, would not take it again. Lots in that group have regrets and health issues. Not everyone, but many. Was I too harsh with her? I hope not. I just wanted her to know that for the how the unvaccinated think about all this. We're not waiting a few more years to assess whether we made the right choice. Are you following me? My guest today has made an important documentary titled Why Can't We Talk about this very topic. I hope you enjoy the interview and go watch his film and support the filmmaker. Enjoy, Base Campers. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. Okay, I'm here with Dean Rainey, father, Canadian filmmaker, a bit of citizen journalist now, I consider you, Dean. Dean, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me here. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, you know, I found your, through different channels, you know, I found your new documentary, Why Can't We Talk About This? Great title and great job on it. We're going to get into all that. Clicked on it and really wanted to have you on and wanted to sort of show people that you did this documentary, and it has so much great information in it. But just before we get rolling here, just give us a little bit of a background, where you grew up, where you live now, maybe family, and how long have you been in film and been a film producer or just commercial producer? How long have you been doing that work?
So, yeah, I'm from small town Canada, I guess, here, about an hour and a half, 2 hours outside of Toronto. I live in a small town. It's actually my hometown. Nice. My life has taken a long journey. I guess I could say I've been in film, television, video since I was a teenager, since I was 15. Nice. Nice. I knew this is what I wanted to do. And as soon as video cameras came out and 8mm videotapes, I was making sketches with my buddy. In high school, we had a cable access comedy show. And I just knew this was kind of what I wanted to do. When I finished high school, I had to get out of this small town. There was not even cable TV here. I had to go off and see the world. So I ended up going to Orlando, Florida, to a film school down there. So I'm a Canadian, and I went and studied in the U.S. And that was an interesting experience. It's a very technical film education that I got there. And it was mostly a lot of dudes at the school. Right. So here I went off to study and go to college/university, and I was at a tech school with a lot of dudes. But the guys that I did make friends with. Man, we're lifetime friends, and we still keep in touch. From there, I moved back to Toronto and just grinded it out in the city, being a PA. My first job was doing craft service, so cooking the food on sets. I did every kind of job that you could think of on sets in television, just trying to, figure out how to move ahead. And it's a very difficult business. It takes a lot of perseverance to survive in this business. I look back at the people I went to school with, and even other kids now that I hire in that, and it's about a 10% retention kind of rate. If you go to film school and study school, look at your graduating class, about 10% of that will stay in the business and actually be able to make a career. The other 90% are going to go off to other places.
Wow.
But
How many kids you got?
I got two kids here. I got a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old, and I married my wife, Jean. Just to tell you a little bit about my story. So I worked in Toronto, and I decided my technical film school wasn't enough. I needed to learn more. So I went and got an English degree from university at York University. And that really helped me with my writing and my reading, and just gave me a great book list to kind of read
That's
and draw
great.
stories from. And then I thought, well, I got a, nothing's really happening here in Toronto. Let me see the world. And I wanted to go to New York, but you as a young person from Canada, you're not going to get a work visa to go to New York and work. It's just too competitive. So I had friends from Hong Kong. So they said, you know what? We know if you go to Hong Kong, you will get a job. And so in the early 2000s, I packed a suitcase up and I told my folks, I'm going to Hong Kong. I'm going to stay 2 weeks with some friends there. And if I find a job, I will stay. Well, I found a job and I ended up living in Hong Kong for 10 years. And that's where I met my wife.
Oh, wow.
My wife, I met her in Hong Kong. She's from Thailand. And we lived together after being married. We had our firstborn in Hong Kong. And then I came back to Canada.
Beautiful. That's a great story. I love how you went, you got the technical stuff, but then realized also, well, wait a minute, I need some better storytelling skills. And I have to understand that part of it, because that's such an important part, which you put to good use in your documentary, Why Can't We Talk About This? Which I'm sure, looking at your portfolio, so you're still in the business, so you're one of the 10% that stayed in television production, I assume, because my brother-in-law is also one of the 10%. And so I see him doing lots of commercials, working for firms, branding, doing all that stuff. I assume that's probably the heartbeat of your business, right? But then
Absolutely.
here comes this completely non-commercial project in your portfolio. Why Can't We Talk About This? Which is really about the journey of Michael Oesch. And so my first question about it is how, what was the spark? So it would be tempting for you to stay in the commercial. I'm too busy. I don't want to do this, like make this documentary necessarily, when I got, I want to keep doing commercials and branding and keep all my clients happy. But something must have sparked your interest in the idea of doing this. And I guess, what was that? Did you meet Michael? What came across, and what was, when did you know, okay, I think I'm going to dive into this because I feel like I have to, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, there's no single catalyst, right? It's always a series of things that happen to you that bring you along a road or mold you into a way to be ready for this, I guess. Because for me, it's like, okay, having traveled the world, I worked for National Geographic Channel while I was in Hong Kong. I also worked for CNN. I worked for Discovery Channel. So I traveled basically the entire planet working for them. And when I go somewhere, I don't go as a tourist. I want to try to pass off as a local. Okay, not so easy, but I want that experience. And nothing opened my mind to all the issues that affect us on a daily basis, especially with government and society, corporations, all that, than just traveling the world and seeing how other countries operate, how the other societies, learning just the deeper look into those. So because of that, when I moved back to Canada, I was very shocked to find sort of the shape that our country was sort of in, and sort of the direction it was going in. So I was always a little bit naturally skeptical of these things because my eyes had kind of been opened by just traveling the world and knowing, you guys are so upset about this here. Do you know how it goes in another country? Like, you need some context to know. We're all human beings. But anyways, so I always had that little bit of curiosity and healthy dose of skepticism. When we went through the pandemic, well, first of all, I was living in Hong Kong in 2002 when SARS the first time happened. So I was at ground zero. So I was right there in the heart of it all, and I saw that response. And so I was paying very close attention to the response on this one. And they started to just do a lot of things that didn't make sense to me. And I guess I like sovereignty. I like taking responsibility for my own actions, and I expect other people to do that. And, I just was like, why are we not doing this? Why are we not, like, of course we want to help each other, but we have to sort of let some things play out. And that just wasn't happening. This the government hand was stronger and stronger and stronger. So it kind of culminated for me with the truckers convoy here in Canada, where, we had had lockdowns. My business was almost destroyed by, we had like 3 years of lockdowns here in
I
Canada.
know, it was
It was
insane.
unreal.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we had mandates and we had passports. And so there was a lot of social pressure. There was a lot of stigma. There was a lot of shame. And I was vocal against that to some extent, because at the same time, I was frustrated because these lockdowns had really hurt my business. And I saw like the government stimulus was like just distorting like industry and the economy, because I would have clients that, oh, we got a bunch of money from the province. And then they just hobble something together, wasting money, and then never release the videos. And there's just like all these things that just really distorted things. So I began to be a little bit vocal on these, but I still had to be careful because when you own your own business, people can take that work away from you at any moment, right? And
Well,
I've been experiencing that.
you could have been really vocal on the sovereignty side, and your former clients might be like, "Oh my God, what's he talking about? Don't do business with him." Like, it could have hurt you because maybe ideologically you have to be neutral for your clients, I would assume, or as close to you can, so that they could have really kind of blacklisted you based on your tweets, let's say. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Socially, I kind of went through that with some of my political takes, and I was never one to be like outrageous or, I just tried to bring some rational, common sense thinking to some of my posts. But so the story for me is when the vaccines did come out, it was a question for us, my wife and I, and there was a lot of social pressure for us, on us. My business had been suffering from the lockdown, so I was not keen to put up any more barriers to work at that point. And my wife and I talked about it, and we were just like, my wife put some pressure. She was worried about her family in Thailand. She wanted her mom to get the vaccine over there, so we sent a bit of money. We dragged our feet, but my kids wanted to play hockey. They wanted to do things, and I just sort of was like, I don't feel great about this, but I guess we'll do it. Honestly, I just couldn't take the social pressure, I think, from family and friends, even though I had friends that were refusing, and I just refusing the vaccines. But I had so much respect for them, but I could see that they were suffering too. Because here they are, they got to go to the hockey game in the middle of winter. They're out sitting in their truck, and then everybody's going, oh, we know they're not vaccinated. And they got to carry that scarlet letter, So I had two shots. My daughter only had one. My wife and I had two. And of course, we immediately got COVID like 2 weeks after. Like we had gone, I think it was in. We were dragging our feet getting them. So we were like the last people to get them in like either late 2022, I think it was when we finally got them. And like within early 2023, we got COVID for the first time. I was like, what is going on? Okay. So I started diving into the independent media and following the data, and things just were making less and less sense. And then I noticed there's another gentleman in my small town here, Michael. We're acquaintances because he's a filmmaker too. And he's from Toronto and he's semi-retired down to Waterford. And so people were like, hey, if you're a filmmaker, you got to meet Dean. He's another filmmaker. So we have been friends. And I do know that during sort of the truckers convoy time and the mandates and passports, he was very pro passports, mandates, doing the right thing, doing what he was told. He was really wanting to follow that narrative. And we had some discourse, but I always enjoyed Michael because although I know we didn't agree politically, he's funny, he's smart. It was good discourse. So I always appreciated that from him. But then one day his social media posts started to change, and it was obvious he was having some serious health issues, but he would not say what the cause was or what he thought had triggered it at all. So I was just watching and watching. I said, oh my gosh, the closest thing he would say would that he had a neurological event, and that he's low energy, struggling to walk, struggling to use his hands, stuff like that. And most people were like, oh, this is too bad, oh, la la la, but didn't really make any connection. And then one day he reached out and called me, and he says, look, I've been down the rabbit hole. I've either got long COVID or I've got a vaccine injury. I don't know, but 36 hours after I took that fourth shot, I started just disintegrating.
Yep.
And I don't know if there's a documentary here, but would you like to come and film an interview with me? And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know,
Right.
because like I'm just trying to survive with my business, and now I take on something that is so, in 2022, was so against
Oh,
the
yeah.
narrative.
Oh,
You
yeah.
were just going to be immediately branded as anti-vax. I mean, you still are anti-vax, far right, and then Nazi. Like, that just seems to be the way it goes. But I said, okay, we'll go and we'll do the interview. And when we first did the interview, his pitch to me was, I'm going to beat this, and we're going to do a video about how to have hope with these vaccine injuries and how to overcome the industry and heal. And that's unfortunately is not the movie we got to make.
Wow. Well, I mean, I'll tell you, and I'm interested in getting your thoughts on it. And because I get a lot of inputs, and I have throughout the whole COVID thing, and I became, in my own small way, a voice for a particular side of it. Like I was definitely on the trucker side, right? And somebody that's pro freedom, and pro informed choice. Like I don't really believe that the pharmaceutical industry and their captured MDs should dictate whether or not, I resent the pressure that I can't do what I want to do, meaning I can't travel, and it was a lesser version here. They were trying it in certain blue states here, kind of ripped a page out of Trudeau's playbook, right? And, we just had to stand strong. But fast forward, and I was like, am I the only one that's seeing all the young athletes that are collapsing and the myocarditis and the spike in all deaths, mortality? Am I seeing like some kind of slanted version of this, and none of the independent thinkers or the centrists or the left, the traditional liberals, forget the far left, just the traditional liberals, are they not seeing this? I can't tell. And I'm a member at a private or I'm connected to a private athletic club here, and something started to happen where this has been maybe a year ago, and I started to hear conversations that went like, there was one guy that was like, I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And he's like, "Not so good. I'm going to a memorial." I'm like, "Oh man, I'm sorry to hear that." He's sitting with another guy, so there's three of us. I go, "I'm sorry to hear that." And he goes, "Yeah, it's the guy's young. He's in his 40s." And he goes, "I've been going to a lot of these." And I go, "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "Well, I called my secretary and I said, how many funerals have I gone to?" And she goes, "Hold on." She adds it up. She goes, "You've gone to 15 funerals in 12 months." And I go, "Holy moly." He goes, "And these aren't all, some of them are in their 70s and 80s, but some of them are not." And then the guy he sits with, there's like a pregnant pause. And the guy goes, "Do you think it has something to do with the COVID vaccines?" And the other guy, there's another pause, and he goes, "I don't think it's helping." And that was it. That was as much of an acknowledgement, right? A tentative acknowledgement of, "I don't think it's helping." And then maybe 3 months later, another woman comes in and I go, "How are you doing?" She goes, "Oh, my husband is having all kinds of health stuff." I go, "Oh man, I'm sorry to hear that. I love him, We'll give him my best. What's going on?" And she goes, "He's just having all kinds of neurological stuff." And she goes, "Tony, I swear, I bet you there's 8 or 10 in my circle of friends in California that are having problems after the vaccine." And she says it just like that. And I like, whoa. And she goes, "Did you take the vaccines?" I said, "I did not." I almost felt bad for telling her that. I go, "I didn't. I go, I didn't. I didn't trust it. It looked to me like a clinical trial, and I wanted to be part of the control group, frankly. I did not trust any new technology coming out of the big pharma, and they make so much money. I just didn't trust it." And she goes, "You, good for you, good for your family." She goes, "I mean, it just feels like a ticking time bomb." And I just felt a new level of empathy. And people that had deep regrets about taking it, I just felt not like I was superior or I'd made a better choice and good for me. I didn't feel that at all because humanity is part of my tribe, right? And I just felt enormous amount of empathy, a little anger, like, God dang it. And we'll talk a little bit about the emotional reaction to the film that I had and get your reaction. But I just wanted to ask you, like, So here's two people that I know that are saying in my circle, it's starting to get talked about. I don't know if it is in your circle or if you're seeing, hopefully, God willing, nobody's having really bad reactions. Then hopefully, maybe only one or two shots is not as bad as people that went full on three, four shots, the way like Michael in your film did. Are you seeing a little bit of what my friends talked about, or thankfully not? I don't want anybody to have that experience of this person, these two people that are going to memorials and saying everybody's having kind of neurological stuff right now.
Well, unfortunately, because the film is such a conversation starter, or it has burst open the dams of 4 years of silence, that yeah, I'm hearing this every day. Every day I get emails, I get letters, I get, somebody knows something. And I think that's just only going to increase with time. And as we acknowledge this, because a lot of doctors are just like, but I don't know, something's happening. But we have to look at the whole thing. Like, lockdowns had an effect.
Big time.
We were having people lock down, order takeout, and smoke pot and drink beer. It's like we couldn't go out and get sunshine, couldn't take vitamin C, couldn't, all the parks were taped off here. It was ridiculous. We did, and then you couldn't do anything if you had a health issue. It was only COVID, COVID, COVID for almost 4 years here.
I know.
So there's a long list of contributors to probably the ill health that we are going to see and death over the next decade, probably. And people are so complex. I know. I see all the emotions. It's not black and white. It's not. It's not. If you got the shots, you were obviously pro-vax and a libtard. Or if you didn't, you're far right and you're a Nazi.
Not
No,
exactly.
it's like, no. I got the shots. I was hesitant. I regret it. And there are people like Mike B in my film who still kind of is like, I
I
took the
know.
shot because I had to work. If I couldn't work, I'd be done. So I took the shot. I got injured, but I understand why I had to take the shot. Like, they're still
I
trying
know.
to be accepted. Everyone's just trying to get through without being thrown under the bus. It's so complex, the reaction, the emotion to this. And because we're human beings, we make it all much more complex, right?
I think that's a great point because I think it gets a little black and white. Like you're either with the truckers or you're a libtard that just does what they're told. The fact of the matter, there's tons of people like you, and the other man in your film that was like, there isn't, maybe there isn't some grand conspiracy. However, they are starting to realize maybe I wouldn't do it over that way because I didn't know there was going to be all these injuries. Like, and in my own family, like my dad and my mom both got it. Like my dad took two and then had a reaction. He had a really bad gallbladder reaction where he almost died of septus. And I think he probably tentatively says, I don't think the vaccine helped because that was not too far after my second shot, and I don't want to get another one. But my mom did like three or four, and if it came out again, there was another strain, she might get another one, but she hasn't really had that bad of health issues. You know what I mean? So she never got damn COVID. Like I can't even tell her, well, you took all those and didn't get COVID, or you got COVID. She was one that didn't get it. So she's like, the vaccines worked for me. So I just have to give her truth and let her be like, I'm not getting them. But if she wants to, that's her jam. And if she, it God, I hope, I pray to God she doesn't have any reactions, right? I'm like, I hope she's just one of those people that's like, it's all works out and I feel fine and I trust my doctor. It's like, okay, that's please let that continue to be the case, right? So
I know. And then you could get into the whole subject of like, well, not everybody's getting the same shot. You know, there's different potencies. There's a rumor that, well, not rumor, but there's some scientists that have tracked down that there's three versions.
There are
There's like a
samples,
really,
yeah.
yeah, like one really highly potent, one really weak potent, and one with nothing.
I know.
So it's, yeah, I think we just have to let people, because I don't want my film to scare people
No,
and to
no,
be
no.
thinking that they've got a ticking time bomb,
It
right? Like you're
doesn't. It
trying to,
does. It doesn't scare people, I don't think. I think it's really well done. Go ahead. I didn't mean to
thank you.
cut you off there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's just my point. Yeah, like it's just, we're just all trying to get through this. And I think we're going to be having to get through this for a while.
I know. I know. When my mom was getting them, I was praying that she was getting the saline one. I'm just like, let her have the placebo saline, and I got it.
Right?
Because the mind is powerful. You could probably
It
create
is.
You know, you can create immunity by, you know, I got something that's really good for me. It probably would have done damage to me because if I was forced to get it, if they tied me down and jabbed it in my arm, my mind would have said that that shit's not good for you, Tony. And so I could create a really adverse reaction by my own mind. Even if it was a saline and I thought it was bad for me, I could probably create illness, right? Because the mind is like a really powerful tool. And so there might be some of that too. I don't want to discard, you know, that we can create our reality or we can shape our reality. If you jab me and you said it's saline, I'd be like, it's saline. I'm fine. I'm young, you know, youngish, and I've got a great immune system. But if you jabbed it and said, yeah, there's a whole bunch of really bad stuff in there, including some new bad stuff, I might start getting sick the next week. You know what I mean? Like, as my mind
Definitely.
works on that. Yeah. You know, I wanted to ask, I know we're not doctors and we speculate. Like, I never posted anything about this because I didn't want to. I was already being labeled an anti-vaxxer, and you know, he, you know, so I didn't really want to poke the bear. But like, I remember seeing an old teacher of mine who took three or four vaccines, and I don't go on Facebook because I just don't like it. I don't like how mean it is there, and I just avoid it. And he was posting, I saw my wife was sharing that he was posting, you know, that, you know, he had taken three or four and it'd been years and he just having this terrible health issues, and it's long COVID. You know, he declared it long COVID and never, I think a more even-handed question would have been, is this long COVID or is this a vaccine injury? But he was of one ilk, and so it couldn't have been the vaccines because his doctor recommended him. It had to be long COVID. But my question is there such thing as long COVID, or is it really just vaccine, you know, lipstick on a pig, and they're calling it long COVID when it's like, well, you know, you did take a bunch of shots. Have you thought about that might be part of it too?
Yeah, that's a great question and a question that I have struggled with enormously. Because when I started this film, I joined some long COVID Facebook groups. And what I noticed immediately was that this entire group thinks that it is not a vaccine injury. They are pro-vax, but some of them have had 8, 9, 10 shots and can't understand why they have a low-level viral infection all the time. And so I asked the scientists and the doctors that I met, like, is this possible that these people have long COVID and they think it's long COVID, but it's actually a vaccine injury? And they said, yes, there's a chance that you could get long COVID, that you just can't beat this virus. You get the virus, because it's still a virus, it's a real virus. And you just can't beat it. And it just kind of keeps flowing up, and you've kind of ruined your immune system, or it's destroyed your immune system. But yes, definitely, I think this is, and they said too, yes, absolutely, probably a lot of them are just vaccine injuries. And it's really hard because, on a personal note, last summer when I was in the middle of making this film, my buddy has a podcast about a Canadian band called The Tragically Hip.
Oh, I love
And
Tragically Hip. What
oh,
a
do you
great
do?
band.
Okay,
Oh,
great.
yeah.
Yeah.
Big fan. Big fan. Yeah.
So my buddy JD, he runs a whole bunch of Tragically Hip podcasts here.
Nice.
And we every year go out to Kingston, which is the hometown of the band. And he invited some of his guests from the podcast to come join us in Kingston, which is the city where the Hip are from. And we do a tour of all the Hip sites, the first band they play, or first bar they played, you know,
Oh.
home, go to the studio, we do all this. And there was one of his co-guests, I guess, from Vancouver visiting. And we were just at dinner, and he was talking about his wife suffering from long COVID. And I just shut my mouth because I was like, I'm at a social situation. This is friends here. He does not need to hear about me. We don't know each other at all. You know, but he went on and he went on, and he was so angry at the anti-vaxxers. It was not even rational. And I really had to button my mouth because I just really I wanted to ask, like, may I please ask how many shots your wife might have had? And does she continue to have them? Because everything he was outlining was like, yeah, you are just continuing to have a viral infection, and your wife is continuing to have this viral infection. It's not going away, and it seems to, you know, ramp up every time, every few months. I wonder what that's causing that. And I couldn't say anything. And so now I think, you know, we're all on social media and we are connected, this gentleman and me, and he probably thinks I am just a pariah, you know, like I'm just nonsense. Because the anger he had, and I get it, his wife, they can't figure out what's wrong with his wife. But, you know, I just wanted to point out, like, you got to at least look at this.
I know.
But I was just in no position. So it was kind of heartbreaking. And then, I don't know, I hope he's seen what I'm doing. He probably thinks I'm wacko. Because, yeah, that side, on the left side, my friends there kind of pulled back from me, you know.
Yeah, that was a true, I mean, your dynamic is widespread. And also, your experience, I've experienced a lot. Like, my listeners know that I swing. You know, I swing if there's a truth that I want to explore or there's a perspective that I think will help. But there's plenty where I don't want to, I'm at a barbecue, I don't want to upset people, man. Yeah. I don't want to be the guy. Like, I don't need to try to wake everybody up. The truth is out there looking for people, right? And in your documentary and other great writers and people that make content, the truth is out there about these vaccines. It's not up to me to try to jam it down people's throats at this point, because you can find it. If you don't want to find it, you can. You, the elephant's in the room, but you don't have to acknowledge it at all, right? You brought up a couple things. Well, on a sidebar, I just wanted to say, I think when I was younger, I wore out Tragically Hip, the album Road Apples. I think I played
one of my favorites too. Yeah.
Played the crap out of that thing for years. It was in the regular. It was back in the CD days, and I think I had to buy that thing two or three times because it, you know,
great.
What a great band, what a great album. But and also I wanted to ask you, like, I lost track of how you said 8 or 10 vaccines. Is it up to that much? Because I kind of stopped paying attention after 4, and I always thought 4 was a lot. Are there people that have had 8 or 10 at this point?
In that group, yes, there are, and
wow,
there are some. And yeah, and her response was like, she said, okay, I'm so excited. Tomorrow I'm booked for my 9th booster. And I could just politely question. I just sort of said, okay, what is with the 8th or 9th? Like, do you think that this is she? And then she said, I feel so energetic after I have it, like 2 or 3 days, I'm unstoppable. I could do everything. And I'm like, hold on. It's not medicine. It's supposed to be preventative. It's not even preventative, but I'm like, it doesn't have a reaction. Like, it's not supposed to give you energy and heal you. It is a preventative measure as far as I
can. Yeah.
So when I point that out, she's like, you're anti-vax. I get reported. A couple people thankfully come to my rescue, keep me in here, because they're just like, he's just asking questions.
Yeah.
Now, good thing about that group. So I would say, yes, there are people who have had 8, 9. And I think you can go every season. You can go every season. And here in Canada, it's actually still promoted. In Europe, they've stopped promoting these shots. They've stopped paying for them. If you're not super, super high risk, they're not giving them to children. But we have not got that message here in Canada. Mm. Every season, there's a threat of a new variant, and there's go get your booster shot.
Wow.
Hey, I was in the pharmacy a couple weeks ago. There was a 90-year-old that came in. She must have weighed 105 pounds. The pharmacist gave her a flu shot and a COVID booster at the same time.
Ooh.
And I just thought, what is going on here?
Wow.
What is happening? This pharmacist knows nothing of her medical history.
Right.
She knows nothing. You just see what's pulled up. And if she's just walked in for a booster, they don't check anything else.
Yeah. You know, I had an emotion. I thought your film was really, really great at presenting. You don't get to see somebody that's going spiraling downward health-wise. I mean, it was hard to see in certain ways, but also, it really illustrated what's at stake. And I had an emotional reaction. I got really angry at one point where I could hear the distraught woman who had lost her husband, the one that you didn't show her. It was just her voice. You had it 2 or 3 times. She's so distraught because nobody believes her. The vaccines did this to my husband. He's no longer with us. He had these. And it was, my heartstrings were just right with her. I was like, oh my God, this is a terrible tragedy for this woman. And then you interspersed throughout the film Justin Trudeau, who I do not like. Justin Trudeau, I don't mean to be political or anything. I can't stand the guy. I find him like arrogant, and I'm just like, I don't think he's doing your country any good. I think some of the reasons that you guys are still
he's destroyed us.
He's absolutely destroyed us
as a nation, as a society.
Yeah. And
we've never been more divided.
I get pissed off sometimes just when I see his face. I'm like, I don't like this guy. And then he's lecturing in both English and French. He is saying anti-vaxxers are stupid. They don't believe in science. They're racist. And
misogynist,
misogynist. Yeah. Juxtaposed with him saying that with the content of the film, it just made me so mad. And I know Justin Trudeau ultimately is a minion for something larger, representing big pharma, a lot of money. You know, there's a lot of ways to shape it. But how did you deal with it? Because you're doing these interviews, you're doing these clips of Trudeau as you look back. Doesn't sound like you're a big Trudeau fan either. How did you handle the emotional content of the film as you're putting it together? Because I tell you, as a viewer, you know, there's empathy and there's sadness and just unbelievable grief. And then also just, I was just pissed off with Trudeau, you know, like, you're representing something that's just making, how dare you tell everyone to go get this when
our politicians spent 2 years giving medical advice.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're not qualified in any, they know nobody's health status situation.
Yeah.
And there's no way they should have been able to come out there and say, take these shots. Now, I made sure to show both sides, conservatives and liberals.
You did.
Because it was a uniparty through this whole thing. And I'm disappointed in both sides in their handling of this. It was infuriating, but I felt it was important. I got to remind people that this isn't some caught on camera. This is like he went out there and gave this messaging that we are going to make life really hard if you don't get these. We're going to make sure you can't watch a hockey. You can't play. You can't watch a hockey game. Can't go to the movies. Can't go to a restaurant. Yeah. We are going to make sure you can't work for the government. We're going to do everything in our power. And if you don't, you're a terrible, terrible, terrible human being. And we don't need you. We don't even think we need to, you know, have anything to do with you. I can't believe that played out. And, you know, a lot of people just brushed it aside because there's just so much messaging going on. So I thought for me, it's got important to put that back in there because this is what our leaders were telling us.
Yeah.
And it just was just heartbreaking that we let them get away with that, you know, with no accountability. It's a heavy movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And it was a really effective use of Justin Trudeau, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the discouraging part that's even more discouraging is that, okay, so he resigns because he messes up things so badly that even the liberals can't stand him anymore. But then the country turns around and basically elects the person that was his, mentor through the whole thing, Carney.
I know.
You know, and so Carney came up with the whole policy. Carney's idea was to do the bank accounts with the truckers. Yeah. Zero carbon, all these unattainable things that he wants to do. It's all from him. So we've not made any change. We've not made any progress. And unfortunately, the conservatives are slow to step up into these issues.
The irony is not lost on me that the new guy's named Carney, which is a carnival worker with a low IQ, right?
It's a trickster, right? Like, moves those little cups around with the P in beside. You got to guess what.
Well, I wanted to ask. Monty. Yeah, exactly. I wanted to ask you, was there anything that didn't make it in the film? You know, because you got to be. You edited it really well. You got to be careful what you're putting in. Was there anything that didn't make the film that you wanted us to know about, or maybe something that you learned afterwards that maybe, would have been relevant to the film, but you already made the film? Is there anything that came post or something that got omitted that maybe you would want to share with the listeners?
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge topic, right? And there's just two or three of us working on this here. And so I don't have a team of people to work on this and run things by. And really, I don't have anybody, very few people want to, hey, can you watch my vaccine injury film and give me some notes on what's working and what's not? Like, people just don't want to watch that and probably think I'm nuts. So I had to really always just come back to Michael, because with this topic, I could have gone in 1,000 different directions and opened up so many cans of worms. So I just kept bringing it back to Michael. So yeah, there were some things that we didn't get into. I would have liked to have gotten a little bit more into, a little bit more into the politics of things and sort of the motivation for this, but I didn't have any answers. And so for my film, I was like, look, I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. I'm just trying to show them what I've found and then they can figure it out.
Yeah.
And then you're just trying to tighten it up too. You're trying to make it shorter just so that people, don't get lost in, the length of it, I guess, or if that becomes a barrier, you just want something, really tight and succinct.
I thought it was real. I thought I was relieved when I first came across it that it wasn't a 3-hour documentary. You know what I
That'd be
mean?
good.
Like I would, it was an hour and I'm like, no, that I got it out. Of course I'm going to watch it. Even if it was 3 hours, I would have probably watched it, maybe not frame by frame, but I felt compelled because we're going to have this conversation. But I was really, I thought that length was perfect because everybody has an hour at night sometime to don't
Yeah.
the TV or watch the game. I'm going to sit and take this in. So I think the length really suits you because it's like I remember going, oh, it's just a little over an hour. Okay, good. So yeah.
So I can't really think right now of anything that I, sort of left out. I kind of touched on everything. I would have liked to have gone a little deeper on some subjects, but then, like the finding in the film, there's a gentleman, Timothy Caulfield, who received like $3 million from the Canadian government to promote
Oh yeah.
vaccines.
Oh yeah.
And I wish I had a little more time to kind of do a Roger and me and really try to track him down, but we were really trying to finish off the film to get it ready for the Canadian election, federal
Yeah,
election.
yeah.
So I couldn't do that. But I think there's a whole thing down there, like this, just the messaging and the money spent, and there's just zero accountability.
That's yeah, absolutely. Well, Dean, where can people find the film? Where can they click and watch it? How can they support you? And is there any other creative projects or anything else you'd like our listeners to know about today?
Yeah, so if you'd like to watch the film, you can go to rainymedia.com. That's our website there, and you can stream the movie from there, or you can buy a DVD. A lot of people in the audiences like to have a physical product. They also don't trust the streaming platforms or YouTube, whatever, think it might be taken down. So you can buy an order a DVD, and we'll ship it to you there. But what we're asking is we've kind of ungated the film. It's there on the website, rainymedia.com, and it's a YouTube link, and you can watch it. And we're just asking, if you could donate to support, either buy us a coffee, send us a PayPal, anything. It really helps us out. I got no sponsorship for this. I had no funding. I wasn't going to the Canadian Arts Council to get a grant for this one, that's for sure.
Nope.
And it costs about 40 grand to put together and took a year and a half, and it kind of filled a void of the work we kind of lost by tackling this. So yeah, no, we appreciate if anybody could just send the price of a ticket, that would be great. And just support the film and share it. And if you buy a DVD, pass it on to somebody else and just sort of use it as a conversation starter. I am proud that, that it's not wacky, it's not crazy. I get that compliment, like, wow, this is balanced and this is a fair take on this. And gives me something to think about. And so, yes, great. That's a home run as far as I'm concerned. And so, if people are looking to be able to bring up this subject, this might be a kind of safe way to do that with somebody.
Love it. Thanks, Dean. I really appreciate your insight, your wisdom. Thanks for coming on Base Camp for Men today and sharing with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. To watch Why Can't We Talk About This and support the film and Dean, go to www.rainymedia.com. You can click right there and watch it and click right there and support Dean. Thank you, Base Campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Base Camp for Men.